Good evening, anarchists everywhere, and welcome to tonight's Anarchism in the UK with me, Ian Bohm. Tonight's guest is Jane Clemenson from Freedom Press. Welcome, Jane.
Hello.
Jane, how did you first get involved in politics?
I don't know, really.
I think you said that you went to the Windsor Great Festival?
Yes, that was back in the, when would that be, early 70s.
Blimey.
And they were some free festivals in Windsor Great Park.
Yeah, and there was the famous one when the cops charged pretty
brutally.
Yeah,
that was pretty scary. I just remember we were camping in the woods and I sort of got up, stretched, had a look around and someone ran past saying, the pigs are coming.
Yeah, the pigs are coming.
So I wandered out and there was just this sea of police everywhere, which was kind of alarming.
There was a whole, I mean, around about that time, it was the start of the whole sort of free festival movement in Glastonbury in the early 70s. Did you sort of, how old were you? Why were your parents letting you go to the Windsor Great Festival?
I don't think they were fully aware of where I was at the time.
You said you were just popping out for a bag of chips.
Yeah, I used to do that. I'm just going to nip out and I'll be back 3 days later. It was dreadful, dreadful adolescent.
Different days, weren't they, when you could sort of hitchhike round and see that now. So did you go to other festivals after that?
I inadvertently went to Reading one year when I was trying to get to Windsor but couldn't get a lift. And that was a whole, another side. That was a pay one, but I didn't actually pay.
Who was headlining at Reading then?
I can't remember who was headlining. I can remember Rod Stewart was on and he was pretty abysmal. And who else? Genesis were dreadful as well. He had that silly flower thing on his head. And, oh, God, who else was on? Sensational Alex Harvey Band were on.
Right, that's a bit more like it. And so from that sort of free festival scene, what happened to you after that?
I was still living up north at that point, so it was a long way to hitch down to Windsor.
Yeah.
And then I moved down south and was squatting in Shepherd's Bush for quite a few years.
Had you met other people?
Yeah,
who
you
were
just kind of like
the sort of free festival scene.
You just kind of bump into people and, you know, network, I suppose it would be called now.
And was the squatting, was that where you sort of under danger of sort of eviction, or did you feel reasonably secure where you were?
Well, the nicest one we had was a little street off the Uxbridge Road, and we seemed to have a whole little street of squats, which was quite nice, but eventually they were evicted.
Yeah, there were some.
They pulled them down. So
There were sort of whole communities of squatting in those, Villa Road in Brixton, the famous one, and sort of whole communities. And what about work-wise? Then you made the transition to get a job at Aldgate Press. How did that come about?
Well, I was I had a child by this point.
Yes, don't miss the child out. Give your offspring a mention on the radio, for God's sake.
And so I was looking around for something kind of not full-time but part-time, and there was a friend of mine who was working at Aldgate who knew me and thought I would fit in. And so I started working there. I think I was 2 or 3 days a week. I can't remember
and
now.
And Aldgate, the anarchist printers next to Freedom Press. When you went there for the interview, did you dress like an anarchist or did you dress smart?
Well, I wasn't quite sure. Well, I wasn't aware I was an anarchist in those days. I do remember going along to the interview. I was wearing all black with leopard skin boots, which I thought was quite fetching because I thought I'm not going to dress in a suit or anything. Look sensible, so I dressed as I normally dressed.
And did they ask you questions about Prince Kropotkin at interview?
Not at all. I couldn't even type in those days.
You couldn't type, and you were going for a job as a typesetter.
Yes, I got a job as a typesetter. I think it was the boots.
The leopard skin boots that does it, yeah. And how was that like, working for Aldgate in those days? Was it sort of...
It was kind of nice. It was weird being the typesetter, because things go in waves, so you have the typesetter who produces the stuff for the printers to print. So you're busy when everyone else isn't and that sort of thing. So they'd be playing cricket in the alleyway and I'd be beavering away on my own upstairs getting the next job ready.
And was that all sort of old-fashioned technology?
It was the old... We had an old IBM Composer in those days and it was big, long galleys which had to be pasted up. Pre-computers.
And that involved you then, you sort of graduated on to sort of setting Freedom out as well, Freedom the
newspaper. I used to do the newspaper because two of the editors were actually working at Aldgate Press, so they'd sort of rush up with the editorial I'd dash it off and they'd stick it in and put it on the press. So
in those days, freedom seemed sort of curiously disconnected from from everything, really, but from anything else that was going on. And it was always quite, as you know, inhabit a world of its own.
I think it's always lived in its own little bubble, hasn't it?
And then, but it wasn't all sort of dullness at Freedom. There was a famous and quite terrifying occasion when you were attacked by Combat 18.
Oh, that was quite scary, yes. There's these sort of, I think it was about five or six guys with balaclavas and baseball bats smashed their way in, and it was quite an alarming episode.
Did you feel you were about to be attacked yourself?
Didn't know. You know, you've got guys with baseball bats who look a bit mean, and they're smashing things up. I know they smashed up my computer, and I remember being a bit scared. I didn't know they were trying to smash the screen. I wasn't sure if it would explode or not, you know. But funnily enough, we just got a really sort of good new laser printer, and they obviously didn't realise what that was and hadn't smashed that. So,
okay,
but then that was stolen a few weeks later in a burglary. So.
So sounded like security procedures.
It's pretty lax.
Who was in the sort of office at the time of the attack then?
Let me think. Arthur Moyes was in the bookshop,
yeah,
because they pushed over some bookshelves and alarmed a customer. There was a customer in there as well.
We remember it more because we had a customer.
I don't know who the customer was. And
if you're that customer, get in touch.
Vernon Richards was there as well, and who else? Charlie was there.
And did you? What happened? Did the police come afterwards, or what happened?
They eventually came, but no one seemed that bothered about finding out who'd done it, or looking at CCT footage from the other end of the alleyway, or anything like that. Nothing ever happened.
So the five
really.
Coppers who turned up looked remarkably similar to the five members
of
Combat 18 who'd been
there.
Yeah. But I mean, laughing aside, it must have been pretty scary.
It was really scary at the time, and they sprayed. I remember smelling spray paint, and they'd sprayed C18 in big letters outside the door. So, and they left a sort of like a Molotov downstairs as
really?
Well, but they hadn't lit it. But then sort of not long after that, we had a firebomb attack. So who knows? Who knows who was involved?
Crikey. So it's all been happening at Freedom, and instead it goes on. Crikey.
It's had its lively days.
Yeah. That was the day of the interview, was it?
No, this was some years after.
Did you still have the leopard skin boots on? Right. Besides Freedom, you had a life outside Freedom as well, and you were involved for a bit with after squatting with a self-built housing co-op at Green Street.
Yeah, that's
How did
in
that go?
That's in Brockley. It's in Brockley, off Drake Fell Road. And
was the idea you'd actually all come together as a collective and then build your own houses physically?
It was a lovely idea, and I joined quite a while before we actually got a bit of land and did it. So we found the land, and we're doing these kind of Walter Siegel style wonderful houses, and it just all got a bit overcomplicated, and the architects had never done anything like that before, and so a lot of the designs were changing weekly, and it just got a bit much.
Yeah, decent anarchist architects in. But was the idea you'd actually build it yourself?
Yeah, we were actually building it ourselves.
So you were learning all these skills.
I can now dry line. I still got my steel toe caps and my hard hat at home.
I can see footwear's played a big role in your life.
Oh, yes.
Crikey, so that must have been quite exciting, learning all the skills, you know.
Oh, yeah. I can handle extremely large power tools now, which I never could before.
If anyone wants an anarchist plumber...
Oh, and electrics. I did a bit of electrics as well.
But the collective, was that sort of, I've been involved in collectives in the 60s, maybe a nightmare. Did the collective sort of fall apart arguing?
Because it was kind of gruelling to do. There was, you know, it brings out people's idiosyncrasies when things are quite hard. So I think there's a couple of the originals still there, and that's it. Everyone else just
so
kind
what
of
about the work you'd done before you left then? What happened to the...
It was just passed on to the next people. So actually, I realised the ideal way to do this is to join just before it's finished.
Self-build as in, I'll put the knocker on. Crikey. And then yet another varied career. My spies tell me that you were involved with the pirate radio station 628 and you were known as the First Lady of House.
Oh,
tell
God,
us more.
Yeah. Well, that was Fabio gave me that name.
Stick with that.
This was in Brixton in the 80s and I was doing three shows a week on that.
Yeah, and what sort of stuff were you playing on that?
I used to do the Friday and Saturday shows were kind of a bit more lively, and that was sort of very early days of house before it got kind of popular and more mainstream. So I used to play that.
And what was your name when you were?
Oh, DJ Jane.
DJ Jane.
A bit boring.
From South Build Green Street. Yeah.
And then Sunday I used to do like reggae and stuff on the 6 to 8 again.
Brilliant. And was this sort of pirate radio as in they had to keep moving the aerial off the
roof
did it different locations and have everything seized and stuff?
Something on a tower block somewhere and I never wanted to know where it was because if I don't know, no one can say I told anyone about it.
And were there perks of being DJ Jane? Were you sort of welcomed at Swish nightclubs?
I used to get into lots of places for free.
Does that still hold now? You tried
Not
it
Not really, no.
And you played some good places. You played the Wag Club and the Fridge in Brixton.
Yeah, I've played those in my time, yes.
Oh, First Lady of House, Jane Clemenson, in the show tonight. So how did that come to an end then? Did you just get fed up or did pirate radio mutate into...
It was when they did this thing where they were going to give a station a licence and they said everyone should go off air, so the one that I was on went off the air. And I also was a bit... and there was another one that we could have gone on, but I was getting a bit alarmed by... they could actually, if they did a raid, they could take all your records, and I got really worried for my babies.
Oh,
you know,
so. Right. You had a precious collection of vinyl built up over the years.
Yeah, it has its own room.
Yeah. And you did some, I think you said you did some benefits for RTS as well.
Yeah, there was a German woman, Chris Groner, who is unfortunately no longer with us, who used to organise benefits for various RTS demos. So I played at quite a few of the benefits for that.
So have you got posters at home with sort of DJ
somewhere,
Jane?
Somewhere I have.
Yeah, I'd be very proud. And then you seem to have another sort of seamless change of career. You were in the Bollington Street squat in Vauxhall. And I think you were involved then in running the community cafe.
Oh, I didn't run the community. Oh,
involved,
no, I've just kind of
cooked.
Done a bit of cooking there in my time. Because that's just another thing.
Yeah, is that still there?
I believe it is. I haven't been down there for, about 10 years now.
Yeah.
I believe it is still going.
So you must be one of the most multi-skilled anarchists I know to do dry lining, cook and play. And most anarchists are totally one-dimensional. Like you to find a doorknob in the morning. And now, currently, where you live, you're involved in the Residents Association and so on?
Yeah, I seem to be... dealing with bits of local government I wasn't aware of before and councils and all that sort of stuff, which is learning housing speak, which is a whole new language.
Yeah. So you're on friendly terms with your local ward councillor?
I have to be. But, it's interesting. It's another thing to learn.
Yeah.
So.
But you've retained your involvement. It's slightly different. You're not just typesetting there. You're sort of working with Freedom Press. For people who don't know, just want to say exactly what Freedom Press is.
Freedom Press is there's a bookshop, which has just moved downstairs and is really nice.
It is really
so
flash.
Please do
I've not
come.
Been there for years.
And there's also a publishing side, which we do quite a lot of books. The most recent two, we've just done a new mutual aid and new version of William Blake.
You can print Blake because he's dead, so copyright don't
apply.
Well,
no, it's Peter Marshall wrote it.
Oh, right.
Sorry.
I see, because copyright goes out 60 years after you're dead, you feel free to make a few bob out of William Blake.
But that's got nice colour pictures now, so...
Yeah. Well, since you mentioned mutual aid, I mean, Prince Peter Kropotkin wasn't anybody wrote
he
for,
was
editor of Freedom at some stage?
I think he was one of the founders of the paper back in the, when was it, 1886,
yeah.
I think it was.
You're bringing out a...
Now it's a new and improved version of his mutual aid.
Have you read it?
Well, I had to read it.
Don't say it like that. I had to read it. I remember reading Mutual Aid when I first became an anarchist. It was all about Siberian pond life and medieval guilds. It was a bit mystifying, but reading it much later, yeah, it made sense.
Oh, yeah, it does. It's not a bad little book, really.
So you want to give a... Is there a launch due for that?
There's going to be a launch on, I think, it's the 4th of March at 7 p.m. But if you want to check the website, that will have more detail. Yeah. That's www.freedompress.org.uk.
And the Peter Marshall William Blake one, is there a do for that as well?
Probably early April. We've got to get that a bit more organised yet, but there should be a launch for that one as well.
Well, it sounds as though Freedom Press Publishing's in rude health. Some of the other stuff you've published, like, I noticed a really flashily produced Herbert Read art book. How did that come about?
I'm not quite sure. I wasn't too involved in that one.
Well, with Prince Peter Kropotkin and Sir Herbert Read, the anarchists are doing well on the titles.
Oh, we like our titles.
But it does look a really flash book. I mean, it looks like...
It's a nice looking book. It's a little bit of a departure from the...
He was out of vogue for a long time. And I see Sir Herbert getting looking again, as opposed to all these Banksies and people. And then I don't know, some of the ones you published, like I've seen the Tony Allen book on...
That was an amusing one to do.
Speaker's Hyde Park.
Corner, yeah.
Is that sort of...
What's that called? Summer in the Park.
Yeah. That's quite an amusing account of Tony. And there's a lot of back catalogue of Freedom Press stuff still available. What's the sort of bestseller that sells steadily?
Well, stuff that's sold out and had to be redone, like Mutual Aid. Anarchy in Action's very popular.
So Colin Ward?
Yes, yeah. Colin Ward's. And that's a really good book, actually. It's very accessible.
Yeah.
And we did a new version of that last year.
And it's Colin Ward, I think you said, it's on the, whatever it is, run...
He's actually one of the Friends of Freedom Press who own the building.
Yeah.
So that if we ever go under, at least the building's safe.
And there was, when I first came across Freedom, it was Vero Richards and all run by venerable, very old people.
Oh, yes.
But some of them were fascinating characters. Let's have a jaunt through some of those. Nicholas Walter, did you come across him at all?
Oh, yes, he was lovely. Well, one thing with Nicholas, you always knew that what he wrote was true because he'd have researched it. And
unlike most of the other anarchists.
He knew it really did happen.
Yeah, when he did research, proper research. You're telling an interesting story beforehand about his operation in the NHS.
Well, yeah, there was... apparently he was misdiagnosed or something when he had... I think it was cancer he had, I can't remember now. And he could have very easily sued the NHS, but decided not to, because it would be taking money away from people who really needed it, which I thought was quite generous-spirited of him.
Yeah, I think someone else told me a story that when the fatwa was pulled out on Salman Rushdie, that Nicholas Walter, because he was obviously a secular society, and went up to Hyde Park and spoke out against the fatwa and managed to get himself a black eye. So it was a very brave and courageous thing to do. What about Cliff Harper? Does he retain any sort of involvement?
He's not really involved with the press as such, but I've done loads and loads of books with him in the past.
Yeah.
Like, he's got his own imprint, Agraphia Press, and I've done all those books.
Yeah.
And book fair posters and...
Yeah, he still does the annual
AK covers and all kinds of stuff, C-sharp press covers that we've done over the years.
And people might have seen his sort of country graphics in Guardian every day for years.
Country Diary.
Yeah. And what about Vernon Richards himself? Was he still there when you were there?
Oh yeah, he was there.
Yeah. Was he like a sort of eminence grise in the background?
Well, he was very charming, but probably because I was a woman, you know. But he seemed pleasant enough to me. I think I was the only person who'd never argued with him, really. Everyone else seemed to have some bickerings at some point along the line. So.
And I see that Donald Room's cartoons, Wildcat cartoons,
yes,
are still
Donald's
in Freedom. Is he still about in the building?
He's still hale and hearty. He's celebrated his 80th last year and still does the cartoon for the paper.
There's something about being an anarchist at Freedom that must help the longevity, because they all seem
they
to...
They certainly seem to last a while, don't they?
Yeah, it was interesting, because I tried to get Donald on the show, and because recently the police inspector, Chalanu, fitted him up with a brick, died, so Donald's had the satisfaction of about living him. Actually, I put something out on my website, and a very rude message from Inspector Challoner's granddaughter.
Oh, no.
What about one, another one people I used to really like a lot was Philip Sansom, who edited Freedom.
Was
another sort of charming man. And you may not have known Alan Elben, but there were some some of these people were just really nice, gentle people, and the kind of people who could actually imagine living in an anarchist society as opposed to most of us troublemakers who'd probably be campaigning for a return to capitalism if we had to lift a finger. Like. And John Rettie, did you come across John at all?
Oh, yes, John Rettie, because I think he, well, before my time, he was actually editing the paper. And he still comes in. I think he's doing the Toriana poetry thing. Oh, yeah. He's going to start doing those down the bookshop, I think, now. But, yeah, he still pops in, still see him now and again.
Yeah, good. We had John on the show. He was very good indeed. And you said Murray Bookchin. He put in an appearance at some stage.
I do remember Murray Bookchin and Vernon Richards having a heated debate about the minutiae of the Spanish Civil War, but they loved every minute. It sounded a bit argumentative, but they were really enjoying themselves.
You can't be an anarchist without a good argument over the Spanish Civil War. And someone else you mentioned earlier was Arthur Moyes, who used to write, as I recall, a column called Around the Galleries, which was...
Yeah, he used to do a regular piece in the paper, which, when I first started there, used to drive me mad because there was no punctuation in it, and I used to feel like I wanted to put commas in and things. But it was only after I'd met him I realised that he actually spoke without punctuation, and that's how he wrote. So
yeah, that's quite good, actually, people who write the way they speak.
Oh, yeah.
So well, as working for Freedom Press now, what do you actually, what is your role?
I suppose I do, I'm doing all the books, you know, putting the books together, put
not
the paper together.
The books.
Yeah, typesetting, I suppose you call it. The whole business has changed from when I first started doing it. It's all, you know, modern methods now.
And is there still that sort of relationship with Aldgate Press? Or is that
Aldgate Press, they still print the paper every fortnight.
And it's Freedom Press who publish at the Freedom paper.
Yeah.
Freedom seems to be going through a sort of stage where it's sort of latched back into what's relevant again.
Yeah, it seems to be. We've had a few changes of... people there, you know, there's a few new people involved who are much more lively, shall we say, and involved themselves.
Tapped into what's going on.
I think moving the bookshop downstairs has been quite major, which is something that we should have done years ago, but the person who was running the shop then didn't really want to do it. Because it's just more open and much more accessible.
It's a really nice, relaxing space now, the bookshop, and how does Freedom... You know, funny enough, I was in the bookshop one day when someone came in and made a donation of $5,000 to Freedom Press.
If only they did that every day.
It was an everyday occurrence. So is it too that a lot of the older people who, well, they pass on, sort of leave a small gratuity to Freedom and that?
Yes, they do tend to, you know, appreciate.
They appreciate the... And the whole building, there was some talk of the building, not the building moving, but the building being sold and moving off elsewhere.
I think the building might be moving. It's got a funny lean to it these days.
It never looked too safe. I'm surprised Combat 18 didn't finish it off.
Well, if I remember a few years ago, there was talk of us moving, but it never quite came off. And there's been talk of us moving again more recently, but... it just never seems to happen. I think we're kind of stuck there for a while.
Yeah, I think when I first came across Freedom, it was over in Maxwell Road in Fulham. But because you get the impression when you see it, it's been in where it is now in Angel Alley for 100 years since Kropotkin was there, but it's obviously moved about. Also, that funny thing with being up the side of the Whitechapel Art Gallery, I often see mystified people looking for the Whitechapel Art Gallery running into Freedom Press. And
well, especially... because the art gallery is closed until, I think it's April, it's opening again, March or April, because they're going into the old library on the other side.
So they have a decent relationship with them?
So we have a very good relationship. Yeah. In fact, they did many years ago have a, Protest and Survive exhibition, and part of that involved building a bridge across, I think it was Thomas Hirschhorn or somebody.
Really?
Built a strange bridge from the cafe on the first floor into the old bookshop on the first floor. Made of, primarily it seemed to be made of parcel tape. But
did anyone ever take a photo of this magnificent?
There must be one somewhere. I haven't got one myself.
It was interesting when that Whitechapel pub crawl was done by the anarchists the other week. We sort of came across a Jack the Ripper tour going the other way, full of Americans. And one of the Americans asked the sort of Ripper tour leader, who's that over there? And he went, oh, they're anarchists. Oh, no, you're going, oh, wow, you're anarchists. And they all turned away from the Ripper tour. Oh, you're real anarchists. Like, really, really exciting. Yeah, and you've had a sort of multi-dimensional life. Anything else on the horizon there? And any new departures? Or
I'm looking for a quiet time at the moment.
After Combat 18 and Pirate Radio and being firebombed, it's not all dull at Freedom Press. Okay, Jane, that's been really great having you on the show. Really enjoyed it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you
and
for having me.
With another Anarchism in the UK next week.